Hello, how are you? This is Okay Day. I see you. This is my first recording. My mixer is broken, so I'm trying this straight off the computer. Like, that makes any sense? Before I get started, I wanted to thank my spouse who purchased my first mixer 1 full year ago on Christmas, and I'm a master procrastinator, which is why I haven't used it, and now it's not working. Then I wanted to shout out Talking Sweet with Sweet Baby J. He interviewed me many, 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 many months ago. I believe my episode was episode 56, Teacher Gonna Teach, and it went really well. And a lot of people listened, and I decided that podcasting might be something for me. At the time, I didn't realize podcasting would be something for me. I was just super excited about it, and my spouse, knowing me better than anybody else, surprised me with this equipment that's been sitting in the box. Today's mini episode is about my hysterectomy. I wanted to shout out Self-Care in Real Life by Ty Alexander. Her podcast, episodes 28 through 30. I was afraid for my hysterectomy because I didn't want to be terrified. And I listened after, and I found a lot of things that she said resonated with me. So, on to the hysterectomy. So, I'm only 45 years old, so it's not typical for a woman my age to get a hysterectomy. But with two children, I wasn't using my uterus, and in fact, my uterus was using me because I want to say over the past year and a half, I was bleeding so much. Sorry, I should have trigger warning. I should have said trigger warning for grossness. But if you're listening and you see the title of the podcast is My Hysterectomy, you should know that there are some gross things involved. So anyhow, I was super sick. I'm anemic, but it was getting really bad. I had to get infusions. Myself, like many other women, especially women of color, I don't really pay attention to my health because I've got too many things to do, and I'm Wonder Woman, I'm Superwoman, I'm not going to be cut down by a uterus. I was wrong. So it just got, there's a cat licking my hand, just so you know. It just got increasingly worse. And the doctor prescribed a bunch of things to try to fix things. There were a bunch of procedures and nothing worked. And I kept just asking, can I just have this hysterectomy? And because of COVID, doctors were saying, oh, it's not really a good idea for you to go into the hospital right now. We can do other things. We can figure things out. We can talk about it. But I was tired of talking because it wasn't working. It got to the point. The last month before my hysterectomy, I want to say that I had my menstrual cycle for a full month. And it was horrible. Horrible in the sense that nothing could hold it back. Horrible in the sense that I would get up and it was like a scene out of Carrie. It was very, very, very scary and embarrassing. And it started to impact me because I didn't want to go anywhere. I like to stay home to begin with. I really didn't want to go anywhere if I had to be all packed up. Started considering diapers. It was really horrible. So finally, I went to one doctor, and he's a resident. He's super young. And I think part of the reason he signed off on this is because he was very excited to sign the paperwork for a hysterectomy. So he signed off on the paperwork. Excuse me. I let my employer know on November 30th. This is what's going down. This is when it's going to happen. December 7th, I got to the hospital super early. They gave me some directions of what I needed to do. Like, I had to shower with this horrible soap and had to be super careful with it, which made it even worse. To wash my hair, all this before I got to the hospital. When I got to the hospital, once I checked in, they let me know downstairs, your insurance hasn't really approved this yet, but we're still going to do it. We're just letting you know that you might owe big money. So I go upstairs, they check me in, and when I go into the bathroom, there's this little, I feel like it was iodine. I could be wrong though. And you have to stick a Q-tip in this little vial of liquid, and then you have to like clean your nostrils with it. It felt very much like a COVID test, but I didn't have to go too high up in my nostrils, but it was still gross, and I didn't really like that I had to do it myself. I felt like a nurse should have handled that, but perhaps I'm a big baby. I get to the room, the get-together room, like the preparation room, which was really just off the nursing station. Just a small curtain separating me and the nurses, and a nurse came in and she said, "This is your robe. This is what you're gonna put on. You're gonna clean your whole body. I'll come in and I'll clean your back." Not embarrassing at all. She comes back, I'm completely naked, everything's in the bag. She cleans my back and they tell me to lie down. From maybe 5 in the morning till about 8:30, it was just a whole bunch of different doctors and nurses coming in. And they ask you the same questions. What is your name? What are you here for? What is your birthday? Do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns? Do you have any allergies? I firmly believe that they ask you these questions so many times to protect themselves, in case you're just some crazy person. The young resident who signed off on my surgery came through quite early, really excited, and said that if the doctor was going to be there early, if the surgeon was there early, I could be seen earlier. So after a point, they're like, "All right, so this is it. We're going to get you on fluids and everything else." They told me it was go time. They wheel me out of the room to another room. This room was really big and had lots of equipment and lots of lights and lots of people and lots of moving parts. And then I started realizing, wow, this is it. This is the real thing. Like, this is really going to happen. Before I went to have the surgery, my wife told me, she's had many surgeries. My wife told me, as you're going under, as in, being with the anesthesia, as you're going under, you have to be happy. You have to think happy thoughts because the way you go under is the way you come back. So they told me to count, and that's all I remember. And then when at one point they started calling my name, and I woke up and I was really happy because I went down happy, so I came up happy. They told me that I did great, and they said I was gonna be there for a little while and just to relax, and I was freezing, and they brought me back to the room. They brought my wife in. I felt super, super tired. Not much pain, just so tired. She took a video of me speaking about the hospital ice. Apparently, it's the best ice ever. I don't remember this conversation, but she took this video. And then at a point, one of the nurses came in and she said, "We're going to see if you can go use the bathroom." I was in surgery, I think, for like 3 hours. This was 2 hours after that 3 hours. So 5 hours later, she said, "Let's see if you can use the bathroom." And I'm thinking, I don't even have to go to the bathroom. I don't want to get out of this bed. I just want to stay here. Anyhow, she and another nurse helped me up. They walked me into the bathroom. And as I'm attempting to get myself together, it's kind of embarrassing because she has to like get me together to use the bathroom. And then after I used the bathroom, I noticed that she had a clear plastic bag with my clothing in it. And she said, "You know what? You use the bathroom and I think you're okay. Do you want to go home?" So I'm like, okay. I understood the protocol. They didn't want anyone in the hospital because of COVID. So she helps me get dressed, drag myself back to the room. And I tell my wife, "Well, looks like we're going." So she had to go sign some papers. They brought in a wheelchair. I hopped in a wheelchair. Well, I didn't hop. That's a lie. I didn't hop anything. And leaving the hospital, I still felt okay. When I got outside to the curb, my wife went to get the car, and I was there with the nurse, and I was sandwiched between two women leaving the hospital with their new babies. And I was really struck for a minute, that'll never be me again. And I was good with that. I was like, all right, I'm good. And I saw their excitement and I saw their partners getting out the car to get the baby in the car seat and how they were so protective of the baby before they gave their baby up. And I reflected shortly on those days for me. I mean, it's been a long time. My kids are in their 20s, but I understand their concern. My wife pulled up. The nurse helped me get in the car. I was super tired in the car, but we had things to do. So she had to pick up prescriptions. She wanted to pick up snacks. She didn't leave the hospital while I was under, because that would be grossly negligent, and I needed to know she was there. If she did leave, she'll never tell me. So we picked up some things. We got home. The couch was a no-go because it was too soft. So I sat in a dining room chair, and my wife made me some noodle soup, ramen, my favorite. And all I remember is as I was eating, I was nodding off. And when I finally came to, I saw that I had all these noodles on my shirt, stains and all types of things. So she helped me get out of those clothes, into fresh clothes, and into bed. Getting up to go to the bathroom was really tough for the first 2 days. I should say now that my surgery was laparoscopic, which means they just drilled or cut 3 holes. One on one side, one on the other side, and one in my belly button. So it wasn't like a vaginal hysterectomy when they just slice you open like a fillet of fish. Oof. Anyhow. So going to the bathroom was tough because I had to like brace my hands, and they showed me in the hospital how to go to the bathroom. But when you get home, it's a totally different story. But that was the first 2 days. My wife didn't give me too many painkillers because she thought they gave me too many. So I had painkillers when I needed them. I walked when I could. And I want to say by day 3, I was already watching TV in the living room and living my best life. Still in pain, but it was a different type of pain. It was just kind of gross. Like, probably the worst part was that my stomach was so inflated. Apparently they fill you up with gas so they can see what they're doing. My stomach was so inflated. I was walking around looking pregnant. I did not like that. The fact that it was so ironic was not lost on me either. So that was December 7th. It is now January 6th. Tomorrow is my 1 month anniversary. And I'm still shocked that I'm never going to have a menstrual cycle in my life. Like, I'm good with that. That's fine. They left the ovaries, so not to throw me into menopause, which is cool. If I would have hit menopause, I really don't care because that uterus wasn't serving me any purpose. It was just a nuisance. And here I am a month later and I feel okay. I didn't have nausea. My appetite was fine. One fun thing they don't tell you in the hospital is after a surgery like that, since you get pumped full of gas, the gas has to escape. So the symphony was lit for like the first week, 2 weeks. Anytime I moved, it was like a fart symphony. It's whatever. I've had no bleeding, no spotting. Today in the shower, the last bit of my stitches washed away, and now I just have three little marks. And my post-op appointment was fine, so I think I'm okay. I'm really excited about doing things without the stress of random spotting in public. I've started working out. I'm back on Weight Watchers. The past 2 years have been really difficult for a lot of people. Definitely difficult for me. And I'm just trying to get myself back together. I want to get my weight under control. I left my job. That's another podcast. I left my job. I'm starting something new. And I feel like this is a rebirth. This is a rebirth without my uterus. One of my students calls it the gremlin. There's a rebirth without the gremlin, and I'm good with it. I don't feel like I need it. I'm not missing anything. I don't feel any regrets. And it's all good. It has nothing to do with the fact that I'm married to a woman, because unless you're living under a rock, you know damn well I can still have a baby if I decided to, but it's not something that I want to do. It's not. This is my new life, brand new, 45. I've got what? A good maybe 50 years, and I want to live those days to the fullest. So this is me. This is my first recording. I'm going to have to go back and spend years editing. We're only at the 15-minute mark. And I think that's it. This was one of my year's resolutions to record my first episode. I don't know what the format of my podcast is going to be because right now I'm just somebody talkative who likes to communicate with people when possible. And if you've listened this long, you're better than I am because I also have ADHD, which means I don't have the attention span for this type of business. Although I listen to loads of podcasts, so you would think that this would be perfect for me. All right, so now I'm going to go up and hit this stop button. I don't know if this will ever get on air. This could just be a practice run. I've got to clean it up. Maybe it'll be outtakes. I don't know, but I appreciate you. I hope I didn't bore you too much. I guess if it was gory, you'd be more excited, but nope. Plain old. Drill three holes. Make it do what it do and send me home to recover where I can spill noodle soup on my black shirt and then go to bed. Thank you.